All right. Well, we've been exploring through the book of Ephesians, and we're pausing, we're slowing down with Ephesians chapter 6. It's that final chapter talking about the armor of God. And the passage that helps us to understand or reminds us that we need to, that there's things that we see, things that we feel, things that we touch and experience every day, but there's also this other dimension going on of the spiritual realm, the spiritual battles that are happening around us and to us and for us that sometimes we just ignore or don't think about. But Paul reminds us that we should be prepared for the spiritual battle that's going on, and that we should have this armor that God provides for us, this spiritual armor, metaphorical armor that God provides for us, so that we are able to stand firm in that spiritual battle that is going on. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read the whole passage. And this is something that you're almost going to have memorized by the time we're done this series. But I think it's so important for us to just be reminded and to have it a part of us that we just don't forget about the armor of God. And he says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So last week we talked about the belt of truth and how discerning truth is something where we need to be able to discern truth from just almost truth. It's not just like truth from lies, but truth that is almost truth, and to discern, okay, is this fully true or just partially true? And today we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness and we're talking about guarding our core. So the belt is what holds us up and helps us to be stronger. But then there's this breastplate of righteousness that helps to protect our core body. And in our current cultural climate that we're in, we need to protect our hearts so that we can live out our faith in real life. So that we can live out our faith in real life. Because life is complicated. Life is difficult. Life is hard, isn't it? But with this breastplate of righteousness, we're able to live out our faith in real life, to protect our hearts, to protect our core being. And so we have these elements: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the readiness, and then the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. So with today, with the breastplate that we're talking about, if you look at anyone who's in battle or anyone who is a soldier throughout history, you would see that they have this breastplate, which would be a metal cover over their core. And it covers the front, covers the back. And what happens is that if there's anything that tries to pierce their core, it would protect them. And if they were part of a wealthy army, they would have that breastplate core, but they would also have a chainmail that goes over top of it, which protects them even more, which is just little rings linked together. And it's very heavy, but at the same time, it adds that extra protection to be able to have in the midst of battle. But the thing is, a lot of armies had little to no resources and had little protection in battle. But each piece was key to survival. Because if you don't have the belt of truth, then you might be able to have that breastplate, but you're kind of not going to be as strong, and you're going to be a little bit wobbly, right? And there's all of these elements of armor that you need to be able to be fully equipped for that battle. And to not skip out on some of the armor, because if you skip out on some of it, you might get injured, or you're not going to be able to fight that battle as well. But the thing is, that breastplate is what covers the heart, protects the heart. And the heart is central to human life, isn't it? Even if we know the basic biology of human science, we know that the heart is the center of human life. I chatted with someone recently who works in the Heart Institute up at the Royal Alec, and with all the technology and advances that they have, we were talking about some of those things. And he said, you know, it's amazing how today we can save people's lives and help them to live a long life, even if they have a heart issues. He said, but here's the thing. And this is a Christian man that I was talking to. He said, we've saved many lives, but there's also a lot of lives that are still lost, because sometimes you just can't fix the heart. You can't do you could do everything that is available to us, but sometimes you just can't fix the heart. But Paul reminds us that we need to protect our heart. In Proverbs, so this is all the way back in the Old Testament, in Proverbs it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything else flows from it. See, our heart pumps blood throughout all of our limbs and every aspect of our body. And it all works together in this amazing way. Like, the human body is just so complex, isn't it? If you just think about it, the pulse and the way that our lungs bring in oxygen and the blood flows and takes that oxygen to all of our limbs. And if something isn't working right, then everything feels like it's a little bit off. But see, the heart is something that's a little bit special, because we build a lot of metaphor from the heart in our lives and in our language, in our culture as human beings. And it's not the physical aspect of the heart, but the heart is a human metaphor for where our emotions are, our dedication is. And we describe things when we're describing people that, hey, well, they have a heart of stone. Right, which means they're very cold, or they might have a big heart or a small heart, or maybe they have no heart, right? Maybe they have a good heart, or a heart of darkness, a heart of courage. Maybe they're all heart. They have a tenacious heart, or sometimes if we're discouraged, we'll say, "Oh, don't lose heart," right? Or the heart knows, or just know your heart, right? Know your heart. Or it might be the heart is the source of love. And above all else, don't lose heart, right? The heart gives life. Or sometimes we'll say, what is your heart telling you? And yet, of course, we're like, okay, well, the heart doesn't have a brain in itself, does it? But it's this metaphor of the core of our being. And yet it's this fleshy pumping organ in our chest that holds a metaphorical secret to who we are as individuals. Our brain holds information, but our heart sometimes leads us. A lot of times our feelings and emotions affect our heart rate and our rhythm. Have you ever felt anxious and your brain is feeling anxiety? Well, then your heart rate goes up. If you're excited, your heart rate goes up. If you're resting, your heart rate might go down, hopefully. And it's one of these things where when you think about it, I mean, we even say, ask Jesus into your heart. Well, that's a bit of a weird metaphor, isn't it? So there's Jesus in there, right? And we have this strange metaphor, and yet it's something that is just a part of our existence. And Proverbs says, and Paul is saying, guard your heart. So the breastplate is what protects our being. Our hearts need to be protected from the influences and the things in the world that can negatively affect our heart. And it happens through our eyes, through our ears, through our minds. But Paul tells us about how we can guard our hearts in Ephesians chapter 3. And I already preached on this weeks and weeks ago, and I'm not going to preach through it again. But in Ephesians 3, Paul gives us guidance on how to protect our heart and keep it focused on Jesus. To kind of like clean out our lives of certain things in order to have a righteousness and a purity of heart that Jesus transforms us. Now, it's not about behaviors. But it is about just having these elements in our lives that are healthy for us and guarding ourselves from some of the unhealthy things. So he says this, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And so he said, get rid of bitterness in your life, bitterness, which is prolonged anger. So don't stay angry too long, because it causes bitterness. And then rage, which is basically anger on fire or anger on the edge. Right. And then there's just anger itself, which is a familiar friend to us oftentimes in this day and age. There's a lot of anger out there. And then brawling, which is anger out of control or anger in action or bitterness in action, is brawling, which is just fighting each other physically. Or there's slander, which are just cutting words or sometimes even like this happens mostly online a lot of times where there's reviews and critiques and comments that are made, which are just slanderous and cutting towards people. And then there's also malice, which is intentional evil, which is sometimes subtle or it might be completely overt, but to avoid malice. So those are the things to clean out of our lives. But what about rebuilding? What do we replace them with? Well, we replace them with things like kindness. Kindness, which I think we could all say the world needs a little more kindness, doesn't it? A little more kindness. We had a group of men that went into the inner city and went to one of the recovery centers and served burgers and hot dogs for people. That's an act of kindness. And I don't think anyone said, oh, that was lame. Nobody said that. It was a beautiful experience where they prayed for each other and a wonderful time that they had. Also, compassion. The world needs a little more compassion. Doesn't it? There are endless needs within our world that require compassion from people. And God gives us compassion. He invites us to bring compassion within our lives for other people. And then also forgiveness. Forgiveness, which is something that is given to us and that is given to others. And sometimes we need to give to others, even if they don't deserve it. And forgiveness is not something that just benefits them, but forgiveness is something that benefits me. When I forgive someone, it benefits me more than it benefits them. But it also needs to be received, not just given, but received. We need to receive forgiveness that is extended to ourselves, either from God or from others. Because otherwise we just stay in the unforgiveness, don't we? And sometimes we have this hard aspect in our lives where we don't receive forgiveness and even forgive ourselves, which causes a lot of hurt and pain within our lives. And the thing is, as we give forgiveness to others, sometimes they don't receive it or even acknowledge that they need it. But still, we need to forgive. We need to forgive. And forgiving doesn't mean we just forget and everything goes back to the way it was. Sometimes things change a little bit. There might be boundaries around the forgiveness or boundaries of behavior so that it doesn't happen again. But forgiveness is something that really benefits us. And sometimes it's like, I forgive you, but I need space. I need space in order to live in that forgiveness. Hopefully that makes sense. Anyway, so out of all of this, as we rebuild our lives, what happens is what we find that we lean into and that we experience is renewal. In transformation, as we rebuild our lives, as we guard our hearts, as we embrace the righteousness and the life that God gives us, as we spend time with Jesus to know and become more like him, we experience a sense of transformation. We sense it in our head and process it, but we feel and experience it in our chest and in our heart. And the peace of God guards our hearts. In Philippians 4, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. He will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so in this transformation, in this renewal that we experience in our lives, you know where it starts? It starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. Transformation, renewal can't happen without prayer, without communication with God. And sometimes that communication and that transformation, that renewal happens with somebody praying for us. But somebody was praying. Somebody was praying in order for that to happen. And it might start that way. But then when God moves into us, that we end up praying to God in that transformation. And in that renewal. And so Paul gives us kind of a formula. He said, put a petition out there, formally asking God for something. formally asking God to move, to do something within our lives or around us. It's okay. He knows our hearts. We can ask for stuff. We may not get it, but as we pray and as we petition God and as we have that discussion with God, sometimes what happens is we realize, okay, maybe that wasn't the right thing, but God answered my prayer in this way. And my will is more aligning more with God's will. And it's a beautiful thing. So formally ask. And then also thankfulness. With thankfulness, be grateful to God. No matter how hard the circumstances are within our lives, there is something, anything that we can be thankful for. And it might be that our shoe got untied, we tripped on it and hit our head and got a concussion. We can be thankful that the other shoe was tied, right? There's something, anything can be thankful, we can be thankful for. And then it seems like asking is a big thing. So Paul says, ask. So ask again. So petition and then ask, right? That's kind of an important thing. God invites us to ask him for stuff, not just like Ferraris and, you know, nice couch, all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. But you, if you want a prayer to be answered within your life, pray it. Ask God. He invites us to. As a parent, when your child asks you for something, you want to provide it for them. I mean, not candy before dinner, but maybe candy another time, right? But God invites us as a parent to a child. He said, ask me for anything. And he wants to help us. He wants to be with us. And as we do that, peace. Now, the thing is, where do you find peace? Where do you sense peace? When you have a peaceful moment, just think of a peaceful moment that you've had within your life. It might be right now. It might be 10 minutes ago. It might be the car ride to work as you were arguing, right? Or to church, I mean. On the way to church, you were late and you know, but oh, there's peace. No, there's no peace there. But maybe you got peace after. Maybe there was peace before. But think about it. Where do you sense peace? Do you sense it in your mind? Not really. Because our mind is always working and processing, right? We sense it in our hearts, don't we? And that's the beauty of it, is that we're not just compartmentalized human beings in our bodies, are we? When we sense peace, we sense it here, not so much up here, because this is always working, right? And I know for me, like, you know, I'm a guy and you know, guys, we brag that we have a nothing element in our brain. When it's like, hey, what are you thinking? Nothing. And that's the truth. That's not just partial truth. That's full truth. We're not thinking about anything, but that doesn't mean we're in a state of peace, right? To be in a state of peace, we sense it here because peace comes from God. And it's not just a thought, but it's a feeling. It's a sense that we have deep within us. But then Paul also says that we need to, he will guard our hearts. He will guard our hearts and our minds. See, God does the protecting. And all we need to do is align ourselves with him and to invite him to protect our hearts. Because it's so important in this day and age, but it's also been important throughout all of human history to invite God to protect our hearts. But it's him who guards our hearts each and every moment that we have an encounter in our world. You see, in our current cultural climate that we have, and it's been throughout history, but especially now, because this is where we're living, we need to protect our hearts so that we can live out our faith in real life. Just some questions to ponder throughout this week. First of all, how are you aware of guarding your heart throughout the day? Just inviting God to guard your heart throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month. Secondly, what are some things in your life that you need to clear out to make room for a healthier heart? And I'm not talking about like less French fries, that kind of stuff. But what I'm talking about is things that you're putting in your mind, things that you're experiencing, things that you're giving your attention to. Are they healthy for your heart, healthy for your soul, healthy for your salvation, for your righteousness? Or are they pulling you away from God? Number three, as you reflect on your own personal transformation, are there things that you need to move towards. So there's things to kind of get rid of, but what are you moving towards? And how can you move towards God, towards Jesus in your life just a little bit more and take some steps towards Him as you figure out how to have things to bring a healthier heart? Number four, how can I cultivate a stronger prayer focus in my life? I said that it starts with prayer. Transformation, renewal starts with prayer. How can you incorporate more prayer in your life? And then number five, who can help you with all these things? Who can help you in guarding your heart more? Because here's the thing, when we try to do things on our own, we could do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. We could, and all these things. But the thing is, if we have somebody who's walking with us, somebody who knows us, somebody who can ask us hard questions, somebody who can encourage us to guard our heart, I think it's important for us to have. Or maybe even a team. I would say that I have a team of people that help me guard my heart. That's how messed up I am. No, I'm just kidding. But you need a team. Sometimes you need a team just so that you can have people speaking into your life and helping you to experience transformation, renewal, to be able to live out your faith in real life, to be able to have that guarding of your heart in every aspect. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for these words that Paul gives us of just being reminded to guard our hearts. Lord, that with this armor, we can stand firm, and with this breastplate of righteousness, Lord, that this core of our human existence, this center of our bodies, where our hearts indwell, Lord, that you would help us to recognize ways that we're not guarding our hearts, and help us to find ways to guard our hearts more. And Lord, help us to find people to give us some supports in this. It's not easy to do alone. But God, you promise us, you tell us that as we guard our hearts, that you're there with us. That your Holy Spirit is empowering us and indwelling us. And Lord, just help us to take one step towards you that protects us a little bit more. Lord, guide us in discerning what we're spending time focusing our attention on so that we can guard our hearts. And Lord, I pray that as we think of just all of the things that happen around us, Lord, that we would see opportunities not just to absorb what's happening around us, but Lord, that we can, through you, your transformation, your renewal, that we can influence what's happening around us with more kindness and compassion, more love, more forgiveness, more of you.